Welcome to today's episode of the RSO podcast. This is Margot Stedman. I am the Education and Community Engagement Director for the Rockford Symphony Orchestra. And today I have the pleasure of interviewing Steve Larson, our music director. He usually hosts, but today he's in the hot seat. We're going to be talking about our upcoming production of The Wizard of Oz. It is this coming weekend on Saturday, October 28th. And this is such a special performance that we wanted to sit down with Steve and ask a few questions. So the first question is, this actual movie, the orchestra is playing, the movie's on the screen, what's the orchestra doing? What are we still going to hear that's from the original movie?
You'll hear everything from the original movie, every sound, every voice, all the singing, all the munchkins, except for the orchestra. You won't hear the orchestra on the track. You will hear instead the Rockford Symphony playing. They physically removed the sound, the orchestral sound, from the film, and just left the voices intact and whatever sound effects might be heard in the during the film. And so we provide the music. And I have to say that the music is so much better than you actually hear in the movie, because the sound really isn't very good in the movie that we all know. So there's so much more richness to the score that I've discovered now looking and learning this piece that I'm really excited to be able to hear for the first time.
Very cool. So this is not the first movie we've even done this season. We did Pictures at an Exhibition, or The Universe at an Exhibition, just a few weeks ago. So this is a second concert, second movie. Is there a difference in technology and preparation? How does that work?
A big difference. First of all, there's a lot more live action in this movie. The Universe in an Exhibition had a lot of stills and or at least slowly moving scenes that weren't very difficult to coordinate the music to. This, of course, you have to not only get some very precise timing, but you have to accompany singers and dancers in some cases. And you have to be, you know, if you're just a split second off, it's very obvious. So the stakes are much higher in this, and it's also much longer. This is an hour and 32 minutes or something like that is the length of this film. And so you've got to be on your toes a little bit longer than Pictures at an Exhibition, which is 32 minutes.
So is the technology the same or different? How do you make sure it's lined up?
The technology is very different. I wish it weren't. The pictures that we did, the Universe at an Exhibition, used what's called punches and streamers. And that is, you as you watch the film, there are flashes of light that were at one time were literally punches. You would take a punch and make a punch in the film so that a flash of light would come through. These punches indicate sometimes the tempo, sometimes important measures that you need to be coordinated with. Plus, there were streamers, a bar of light that moves across the screen. It takes 4 seconds to move across, and when it moves across, when it disappears, that's when the next event is supposed to happen. Or you need to be coordinated with letter C or measure 252 or something like that. This has a system that they've sort of retrofitted for it. They have up in the corner of the screen, which of course the audience doesn't see, only I see, is a stopwatch. And the stopwatch is set for 30 seconds before zero for every scene, and you wait till it hits zero, and when it hits zero, that's when the music starts. And written in the score, throughout every page of the score, every couple of measures is the timing. So you know that at 4 seconds, you're supposed to be here, and at 1 minute and 2 seconds, you're supposed to be at this measure, and at 1 minute and 3 seconds, you're supposed to be here, and so...
So your internal metronome has to be right on.
Yeah, well, the internal metronome, or at least being able to predict when you're going to be at 4 seconds or whatever. Some of the internal metronome things are very easy. For instance, Ding Dong, the Witch is Dead. Everybody knows that tempo. That's not difficult. Everybody can find that one. Somewhere Over the Rainbow is a little tricky because Judy Garland back phrases a lot. And she'll delay a beat, and the orchestra has to come in and then wait for her. And so that's a little tricky. You really have to sort of memorize her performance to be able to do that.
So you're really balancing the technical precision with that musicality aspect.
You have to do some. There are some places where, frankly, it doesn't matter a whole lot if you're a second or two off. If you just some of the underscoring, for instance, that accompanies scenes where perhaps there's action taking place or people aren't talking, and it some of that can be well, it can frankly be 5 or 10 seconds off. Nobody would ever know that. It just you have to make sure that in other underscoring scenes. You have to be finished because sometimes there'll be an important vocal cue coming up that you have to be ready for. So that, in that case, you have to make sure you don't get too far behind. But I much prefer the punches and streamers system because it really keeps you much more engaged in the film itself without having to look at that stopwatch and think, okay, where are we? Where are we now? And
right.
How am I going to time this so I get to this point?
Because as a conductor, you're already multitasking.
Yeah. It's very different. You're watching the film, of course. You're looking at the score, and you're thinking about the orchestra and trying to give cues to the orchestra. And cues sometimes are just they're not just pointing at people; they're looking at people. And it's hard to be looking at people in the orchestra when you're also looking at a score and looking at a TV monitor, a computer monitor with the film going by.
There's a lot going on. So, what will that rehearsal process be like when you actually get with the orchestra? Will it be any different from how you usually rehearse with them?
I really haven't decided yet exactly how we're going to do this. We have a total of 2.5, or a total of 5 hours minus 40 minutes of break time to rehearse this. And I would like to have gone through the film with the orchestra maybe twice during this period, which leaves only a little time to actually learn the music. And some of the music is very difficult. It's really, really tough. Very, very fast tempos. And others, parts of it, are not terribly difficult, but there are counting problems. You know, there are stops and starts and you're really not too much aware of until you start looking at the music and go, okay, that needs to be counted out a certain way or people aren't going to understand. Then there's just the length of it all. There's a lot of music and then a lot of playing, and there's fatigue that accumulates, just mental fatigue, physical fatigue. But in having to count, there are other places that you can tell that during some of the underscoring, the composer, who is also the conductor, would had to sort of snip and cut and repackage some of the music. So he wrote the music, and he knows that if he throws an entirely different tempo in the middle of a phrase, he knows what he's doing, and he can do that because he wrote it.
And, of course, it was recorded in a studio. It wasn't done live like this, so there was a lot more opportunity to fix mistakes.
But when you're marching along at a particular tempo, and all of a sudden, here's a completely different, unrelated tempo that just jumps in for a couple of bars, and then it goes to something else. That's just really difficult to do. You're used to either totally stopping between a tempo change or maybe accelerating into a tempo change or retarding into a tempo change.
But that's not how movie drama works.
No. So. You just have to jump and you have to go with it. And that's tricky.
Yeah. So how many times do you think you've seen The Wizard of Oz now? And we still aren't even there.
I don't think I could count at this point. A lot. not counting the number of times I've seen it in my lifetime.
Just preparing for this.
Yeah, just preparing for this.
We should have counted. We kind of might have been able to submit for a new world record.
Oh, no. I'm sure I won't hit a world record on this. It's actually one of the things I discovered is that I will sometimes, I'm better off not looking at the film and just listening to, or following like a soundtrack, a CD recording of the movie. So then I can follow the musical, the tempo, the original tempos, and get all the cues from that and sort of soak that up without having to watch the film, which frankly, some of the sound in some of the film is so bad in some places you can't even hear the orchestra.
So this is going to, for audiences, it's going to be something they've never experienced with the
film. No, no. And I'm so excited about that because this is, just as I'm looking at this music going, wow, I had no idea there was a marimba playing there. I had no idea that the brass were doing this and the harp was doing that and everything. Because you can't hear when they pull the orchestra way down whenever anybody's singing, for instance.
Sure.
or talking. So you just don't hear these effects that you do.
So once again, we're using classical music to time travel back to hear yeah. what was intended when the movie was written.
And to hear it better than probably anybody else has ever heard it before.
That's amazing. Yeah. So do you think you'll ever watch the movie again after this is over?
Oh, yeah. Because now that I really know the musical score, I'm just finding out so many little subtleties about the movie that I never realized before. You know, most of the time when we watch a movie, we're not really thinking about the music.
No.
The music is just music is in the background. It's to help you or help to the director uses the music to help give you an idea.
Move
the action along to give you an idea what emotions are being felt.
Sure.
But you're not really aware of it too much until you really start listening, and then it takes on a different personality. And in this particular case, we've heard this music so many times. And like the cyclone scene, for instance, it's really very funny. The music is very funny. He puts together all sorts of different transform themes that he's used up to that moment. Rainbow theme and the back to school theme. And all of it is just very wittily put together to accompany this hurricane, this tornado ride. And I had no appreciation for this until I started studying it as a score. I thought, this is brilliant. This is not what I expected at all.
Very exciting. So our last question we have to know, have you been walking around randomly clicking your heels?
Not until I get my ruby slippers.
All right. Well, we look forward to that. And hopefully everyone will be able to join us at the concert. If not, when you hear this, next time you see The Wizard of Oz, you'll have a new appreciation for the music that is underneath the scenes. Thanks, Steve.
You're welcome.